A program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another week of Superhuman Radio. We've got great shows planned for you this week, and we're hitting a home run right out of the box with today's show. First hour, we're going to have Pat Arnold. You know him. You love him. We're going to be talking about a subject that has been requested by numerous listeners over the past few months, the history of pro hormones. And who better to discuss this than the guy who really put them on the map in the first place? Second hour, we're going to have Dr. Lauren Cordain, and he is going to be rebutting some comments that were made about the Paleolithic diet and some of his own comments in a recent newspaper article. Before we get started with that, I just want to remind everybody, I've been getting emails from those of you who have been asking about Orbit Nutrition's blowout sale on Shift, which is a pure form of T2 thyroid hormone. And, you can get that for $14.99 a bottle. You do not need a coupon code. There is no Superhuman Radio coupon code for this particular sale. Just go to orbitnutrition.com and order your bottle of Shift today. And who knows, in few weeks, maybe you'll be able to see your abs. Okay, so here we go. Let's get started. We've got Patrick Arnold on the line. How you doing, Pat?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Pat, now, let's start with your history, first of all, because I don't think we can talk about pro hormones without talking about you. You are a biochemist, correct?
Not a biochemist, a chemist.
Okay, a chemist. Okay. I'm not the most intelligent guy, so I don't know all the terminology. So you're a chemist. What made you want to become a chemist, first of all?
Well, I mean, I had interest in science growing up. My father always had books, science-related books around, and I kind of took a liking to it. In high school, I liked chemistry class.
Did you excel in it? Was it easy for you, one of those guys who made it all look easy?
No, it wasn't always easy. And in college, like most people, I struggled at organic class at first, but I seemed to enjoy it, even though it was hard. You reach a certain point where you have an aptitude for it, or you the terminology becomes second nature to you, and then suddenly then you kind of exponentially start learning a lot more.
Okay. All right, so you had a love for chemistry. Where does the love for chemistry intersect with the desire to build more muscle, or did it happen that way?
Well, it did happen that way. When I first started in chemistry in college, you know, I was into weightlifting and all that. I never kind of put two and two together that someday I would be using my chemistry knowledge for physique enhancement purposes, or even to make money as a, you know, selling products for performance enhancement. At least I don't remember thinking about that. But I think when the two things started to intersect was when I had my first job out of college, and I started reading a lot more about steroids and supplement stuff. And that's when Bill Phillips and Muscle Media 2000 and Bill's earlier newsletters and stuff were out, and I was reading that and Dan Duchesne stuff. And at that time, I started thinking, well, you know, maybe I can take my chemistry, my synthetic knowledge, and maybe make some stuff. And
what was the first thing you tried to make, or did the first thing you tried to make work out, or was it a bust?
Well, I went through a period of being very naive as to how to go about making stuff. And the first thing I did was I bought a bunch of these Yohimbe pills. from GNC, the strength system stuff, because there was all this misinformation going out around that Johan Bean had testosterone in it. I don't know if you remember.
Right.
Back then, that's what people thought Johan Bean was, a source of testosterone. So I bought it, and I tried to extract it with solvent, and I extracted and extracted. I got this yellowish, greenish goop. And I said, well, it doesn't look like testosterone, but, you know, maybe there's some in there. So I did an NMR analysis on it, and it was just a big bunch of garbage. And then I looked up Johan Bean. I decided to go to the library. We had a good chemistry library in the building I worked, which was very convenient. But I went up there, and I looked up Johan Bean and everything on it, and I didn't find a single reference to testosterone. And I thought to myself, you know, I think they're lying to her. And then the wheels started to turn that, you know, I can't believe everything I read. And then I, instead of taking the word for something I read in a muscle magazine, I would try to make sure it's true, you know, to validate it with actually looking in real scientific literature. And then after a while, I just went through the scientific literature myself, just coming up with ideas. And so eventually I got into the idea. It struck me that, you know, I could make my own steroids.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, when you first realized that, was that exciting to you?
It was exciting to me. You know, I started looking through the literature, how to make this drug and that drug. Actually, I think the first thing I came across was this chemical manufacturing encyclopedia.
Huh.
And I had an article on anabolic steroids or a section on it. It didn't tell you how to make them, like, step by step, but
right. It
talked about, you know, general synthesis of all these different steroids, and I was like, wow. And then I looked up in the journals themselves for the more detailed processes, and I realized that there was a couple of starting materials that were available through the chemical catalog that, you know, most chemists order from, namely Aldrich catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And the two major ones were DHEA and angiostine-dione. Now, I remember thinking, boy, I wasn't sure that those were legal. You know, I was saying, well, they're not controlled, but maybe if you try to order them, someone comes to your door.
Right. Right. They want to, like, they catch you. You know, they it's out there, but as long as you don't order it, you're safe.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's just some. The reality was so much more different than that, but, you know, you didn't know, you know. So I remember placing an order for 5 grams of, I think it was DHEA, and then, you know, I'm placing it through my company, too, which is not a good thing, too, because, you know, I'm not supposed to order stuff to play around with through the company I work for.
Right.
But whatever.
Right.
So it showed up, and no one arrested me. So, and then I was like, okay. And then I tried doing stuff with that, and it took me a while to really realize what syntheses worked and what didn't.
So let me get this straight. So back then in the Aldrich catalog, there's another name. It's something Aldrich, isn't it?
Well, Sigma Aldrich.
Sigma
back
Aldrich.
Back then
thank
it was
you.
Just Aldrich.
Okay.
Sigma was a different. They were separate companies.
Right. Right. So they actually had DHEA and they had angiostine-dione, but wasn't DHEA already available over the counter through Life Extension Foundation was the company to really start promoting DHEA back in the day, right?
Yeah, this is very interesting because around this time I was also getting into all the smart drug craze.
Yes, and nootropics, all the rage.
Nootropics. There was this book called Smart Drugs and Nutrients by this Ward and Morgan Thaler.
And
something.
He's in jail now.
Ward is?
Yeah, or? Yeah. I think it's him. Wasn't he like an ex-military physician, something general? And I'm almost positive it's him. He ended up going to jail for tax evasion, of all things.
Dean Ward, was that his name?
Dean Ward, yes. I believe that's who it is. But anyway, yes, that was a great book. Great book.
Yep. And I remember reading that book, and then I turn a page, and it says dehydroepiandrosterone, you know, DHEA, and I'm like, well, what the hell is this doing in here?
Wow. Because,
you know, I knew DHEA from what I, you know, playing around trying to make steroids and stuff, and I'm like, wow. I mean, these guys are using DHEA, and then I, you know, find out that I can order DHEA a lot cheaper with the capsules than I could through Aldrich.
Right, I know, because it's a, why, and boy, we're going to go into a commercial break, but why is it that the stuff you get from these chemical companies is so ridiculously expensive as compared to some of the stuff you can buy the same thing over the counter? Is it really that pure of a grade, or is it because universities and facilities are willing to pay that much?
Yeah, that people are willing to pay it, and it seems all the research grade chemical companies all have the same real expensive prices.
I know. I bought N-acetyl-D-glucosamine and D-glucuronic acid one time for a topical joint formula that I thought I was going to come out with about 8 or 9 years ago, and then I found out that I could buy N-acetyl-D-glucosamine in bulk powder from like a supplement website. And I think I paid like $200 for like 5 grams, and I could have got like a kilo for $30, you know.
Yeah.
It was like something ridiculous like that. But yeah. Anyway, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about androstenedione, because that really is kind of what really introduced you to the physical culture segment of the world, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Pat Arnold. Those of you who know him know that he created whole industries that millions of dollars have been made because of his intelligence and his desire to find better ways to build muscle. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936, wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Watching you, a la 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 long, a la 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 long, longly long, long, long. Come on, a la 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 long, a la 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 long, long.
And people have been watching Patrick Arnold for a very long time as well. Pat, before we get back into the interview, plug your new website, your new product line, real quick.
Well, I have two product lines. The first and foremost is eFarm Nutrition. And we don't really sell directly through eFarm Nutrition. We sell through distributors, but you can get it online at nutrition.com, NutriPlanet.com, as well as many other online stores. You just Google and look around for the best
price. Are you looking for more distributors to pick up your product line?
Look, we've already got enough, I think, but I'm always willing to look at someone else to see if maybe they cover areas that the others miss.
There you go. Okay. All right. So those of you out there who are in the supplement business listening to the show, perhaps you should get in touch. And the other product line that you do sell direct to the end user, you've got some interesting products there.
That's prototypenutrition.com.
Prototypenutrition.com.
Okay. I actually make those products myself, small batches.
So I guess the term boutique supplement company would be appropriate, huh?
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
In fact, I'm going to start using that.
There you go. All right. So Androstenedione, you start doing the research on Androstenedione, you realize that it's a precursor to testosterone, correct?
Well, at first, when I was, got familiar with Androstenedione, was just as a precursor to make other things with. Like, for instance, I'd use it, I'd do a chemical reaction and make testosterone.
Really?
With it. Yeah, and you can make other things from it, too. It's kind of a general-purpose sort of starting material. And then while I was researching, reactions using androstenedione and how to do them better, I came across an East German patent. And in the patent, it mentioned that they were actually using androstenedione itself as instead of using it to make something else, they would take that directly. And they would mostly as a nasal spray. And they used the term prohormone. And then suddenly the concept of a prohormone kind of dawned on me. I said, well, wait a minute, these precursors that I'm using to make stuff from, your body can actually take those and make the steroids from. Your body has the enzymes, the ability to do that.
Right.
To a certain extent. So I just kind of scratched my head and then kind of put that in the recesses of my mind. And then it was only years later that I suddenly got the concept again when I was in the supplement industry. And that's when, along with this guy Stan, he decided to start selling androstenedione.
Now, so in other words, the only reason that the term prohormone as opposed to, because androstenedione is a hormone, correct? It is a hormone.
You could look at it as a hormone. It's considered an inactive hormone.
Okay.
Basically in and of itself, and it needs conversion.
And I got you. So that's why prohormone it was short for precursor hormone, because the objective of taking it is not to raise that level per se, but the downstream hormones. So that's why it's a prohormone. Okay.
Yes. Steroid precursor prohormone.
So now androstenedione hits the market. It's all the rage. Mark McGuire really crystallizes the entry of prohormones by batting. I forget how many home runs he hit. Maybe you remember. And then
70, I think.
Okay, and then attributing. I don't know if he attributed it or it's leaked out that he was taking androstenedione. Did you ever meet Mark McGuire?
No, I never met Mark McGuire. But yeah, when that happened, at that time it was the rage in the sports supplement industry, but the general public was still kind of clueless about it. And then that one reporter made a big deal about it, and then it just took off even more, obviously.
How did that report? Did that reporter know that it was a precursor to testosterone, or did that reporter just say androstenedione itself is the magic? Do you remember?
Well, this is how it went down, I think, and I think it's pretty suspicious that the reporter was there and he happened to see it in his locker. And why would the reporter zone in on that if he didn't know what the hell it was?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then he's like, "What is that? What is that?" And I think he went and did research or something to find out that it's steroid-like. It's
right.
A pro-hormone. And,
right.
You know, and then he made a big fuss about it. You know, Mark's taking steroids. And
yeah. I understand your suspicion, but that's what reporters do. They take little innocuous things and try to make them sinister. That's their job in order to get people to tune in. But it is unfortunate.
My suspicions are that before he even saw it in the locker, he knew it was there. He knew what androstenedione was, and it just seems to me like it's a little odd that a reporter would look at some vague bottle and then decide to.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got all these other things in there, creatine and whatnot. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I got you. And so was androstenedione your first big supplement? Was that technically the first big sports-related pro-hormone to hit the market?
Well, at the time, DHEA was being sold before androstenedione came out. However, no one was really calling it a pro-hormone or really thinking about taking it, you know, to raise testosterone. They're more or less they were taking it because it was supposed to lose fat and whatnot.
Right, right, right.
And but it was at that time, you know, where I said to myself, okay, well, I remember this East German patent, and you know, and the androstenedione can raise testosterone, and I said, DHEA is already out there and you know, seemingly legal. So I said, there's no reason why I think that androstenedione can't be sold also. I mean, it's just two hydrogen atoms away. It's in your body. It's a minor steroid metabolite in the body, just like DHEA. So that's when I'm talking to one of my partners at the time in San Francisco. I told him, I said, there's no reason why we can't sell this. And he said, "Well, you sure it's legal?" I said, "Well, I don't never know what's legal or not." You
right,
know?
Because
but I said, it's all
interpretation at that point in time.
It's all interpretation. So he found a source from China and he put it under his brand called Osmo. And there was a little apprehension there. I didn't know. Once again, I didn't know whether someone would be knocking on the door saying you can't do that. But everything was fine. And then before you know it, everyone else. All these other companies started selling it, and eventually, you know, mainstream companies like TwinLab are selling it.
Yeah. Now, when they were selling it, did they have to license it through you, or it was?
No, there was no.
Right.
We had no intellectual property protection on it.
How many? Okay, so that was really the first big one, and then obviously androstenedione and all the other fractions and variations start coming out. How many pro hormones are you responsible for introducing, would you say?
Well, the first would be androstenedione, then 4-AD, 19-NOR 4-AD, 1-AD. I can't think of this. There may be a couple of others too, the minor ones.
Okay. Now, those were legitimately pro-hormones. They were designed to convert to something else that in and of themselves, they were not necessarily the desired target hormone. When did the terminology pro-steroid come up? And was that just a cloaked name for an anabolic steroid that just hadn't been outlawed or controlled yet?
Yeah, that happened. Okay, in 2001 or so, I came out with 1-AD, which really was pretty remarkable because it was the first pro-hormone that gave you the kind of gains that you get from the real stuff.
Right.
And we had a head start. None of the other companies, you know, could get 1-AD. China wasn't offering it, and when they were, you know, it was really expensive. So we had a monopoly there for a couple of years, or at least 1 year, and it was pretty damn nice because, you know, the stuff took off like a rocket. But at that time, Bill, the other companies, you were looking to one-up us, so they said, okay, we're not going to sell 1-AD, we're going to sell straight 1-testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is the whole idea of a pro-hormone. I mean, the whole argument we have that these things are not regular steroids and should not be treated legally that way were stood upon the fact that they're inactive precursors. And then suddenly they say, well, throw that out the window. We're going to sell the real thing. They're going to sell them active.
Right.
Hormone. And then since they couldn't use the word pro-hormone because it's not a pro-hormone, I think it was a biotester, Tim Patterson, decided to call it a pro-steroid.
Right.
It's really a senseless name because it's not pro-anything. Just call it a steroid.
Right.
But that was sort of the term pro-steroid then took on the meaning of a steroid or a supplement product that's active.
Right, exactly. It is the target hormone that you're looking for. And obviously that single transition really probably destroyed the pro-hormone industry, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It took the argument that we had. And at that time, we actually had the beginnings of a lobbying group to keep pro-hormones on the market. You know, I'd gone to Washington with Rick Collins and whatnot and talked to people. You know, we had a legitimate argument. You know, these things are naturally occurring, you know, so they abide by the Shea. And these things are inactive, and they require your body to convert them, and your body has a finite capacity to do that. So there's sort of an abuse-proof potential there. And then that argument was gone when they started selling the actives. But the argument was ruined even more when methyl 1-test came out.
Mm. Was it because it was methylated that, you know,
hey, it's synthetic. So it's not even natural, let alone a pro-hormone. And that was...
That's when the term adulteration starts coming out of the government's mouth, right?
Yeah. And at that point, everything was just lost.
Yeah, it went down the tubes real fast. And a whole industry was sacrificed because of greed, in my opinion. I mean, we would probably still have 4-5-diol and dione and all these other pro-hormones had that line not been crossed. I mean, basically, what people were doing was thumbing their nose and going, well, okay, you let us get this far. Let's push the envelope a little bit further. And, you know, and unfortunately, look where we are now. Now, I mean, you can't buy any of these things. And every time something good comes out, they outlaw it. Let's take our next commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up with Patrick Arnold. Later in the show, we're going to have Dr. Lauren Cordain on talking about the articles that have been hitting the newspapers recently about the potential irresponsibility of eating Paleolithic style. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Everybody look at me. I walk in the door, you start screaming.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
You can check out Patrick Arnold's website at prototypenutrition.com. Custom-made blends you'll find that you won't find anywhere else. Check it out, prototypenutrition.com. Okay, so we've discussed how pro-hormones led to pro-steroids, and pro-steroids were really nothing more than quote-unquote designer steroids that hadn't been listed as such, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're still out there today. I mean, agents like Superdrol, for instance, they may not have been added to the ban list yet, or they're finding ways around that, but eventually these are going to be added, right?
Well, the process is going on. It's just, for some reason, it's taken a long time, but I do know that they've initiated that process.
Yeah. Now, we can't talk about your interest in chemistry merging with your interest in building muscle and increasing performance. We talk about the over-the-counter supplement industry, but we really can't ignore the fact that some of your discoveries in the lab ended up helping some of the biggest names in both Olympic sports as well as professional sports, correct?
Yes.
I mean, we talk about Mark McGuire, but Mark McGuire was buying an over-the-counter then available supplement. But there were some of the things that you were creating were finding their ways into sports below the radar. And the one product or agent in particular, as you refresh my memory, was THG that made the news during the whole Balco / Barry Bonds and lots of other names in there that were using THG. When did you discover THG? Was that later in your career, or did you discover that early on as well?
Well, before I tell you when I discovered THG, it's important to know that there was a product before that that was used also by a lot of the same athletes that used THG. That product was called Norbolethone. That was the original Clear, as Victor Conti coined the term Clear, meaning a steroid which gives you a clear reading on your urine test.
Right.
Now, Norbolethone was something that I had read about before I got into the supplement industry, way back when I was still working at that company. And it was remarkable steroid on paper. It had a very low androgenic potency and very high anabolic, and it did very well on a nitrogen retention assay. And these things told me that, you know, this stuff is pretty remarkable, and I'd love to play around with it. But and it was not that difficult to make if you can get the raw material, and the raw material was norethin. I'm sorry, not norethindrone. Levonorgestrel.
Okay.
Which is a progestin.
I was going to say it's a progesterone agent, isn't it?
It is.
Don't they give women progestin?
Levonorgestrel. It's in several pills. It's also the ingredient in Norplant, which is a...
Yeah, that's where I heard of it. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
So I always thought to myself, be nice to get some of that stuff, but it's just so enormously expensive. You know, like through Aldrich, $1 million a gram or something.
Right.
So I just, gave up on it. And then I was out visiting the people at Metrex, and I had a little side product line called Substrate Solutions with them. I don't know if you remember that at all.
No, I don't.
It was sort of a Metrex Pro Hormone line that we worked with them on as a supplier and stuff. And I was talking to the guys, Billy Carpenter and Scott and, whatever, and talking about things. And I mentioned this levonorgestrel, and Billy, and the norbolethone and all that, and they thought it sounded neat. And Billy Carpenter, who's deceased now, I don't know if you knew him.
No, I didn't know him.
He was a great, good friend of mine. He was a Scott's right-hand man. But Billy said, well, I can ask TSI, who was the Chinese supplier for a lot of things, if they have any. And I say, they're not going to have it, or it's going to be expensive. And the next thing I know, I get 100 grams of this stuff to show up in the mail. And Billy said, yeah, they gave us a sample. And I'm like, holy shit. But it was amazing. And then I was like, okay. And then I went about making the norbolethone, and it was really meant to just be a curiosity, and I sent some out to people to try. I was very open about it and everything, and people were saying, oh, it works really well and whatnot.
So in other words, you say it works really well. They were seeing muscular gains, strength gains, that sort of stuff?
It's norbolethone gives you a lot of strength and a lot of water retention.
Mm-hmm.
It's size. I mean, rapid muscle, rapid bulk.
Right.
Now, it's around this time where I was doing online consultations, mostly through this site called QFAC.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Shelley Hominick or not.
I remember that name. Sure. She was Dan Duchesne's girlfriend, right?
Friend who was a girl.
Yeah, okay.
They were very, very good friends.
Right.
Well, I was doing this, and I would get calls about athletes telling, wanting to know what they can, if they can take pro hormones and how long do they go off of them before they're clean and whatnot. And, and I was telling these people, well, I don't know, and I don't think that's the best way to go about it. I said, well, I have something you might want to try. It's not tested for. I was very cavalier about it.
Yeah.
And then I would send it. These are very low-level people.
Right.
Amateur people and whatnot.
Yeah,
and, and I sent it off, and they'd say, boy, this stuff's great. And then I got had a consultation with a guy from Europe. I don't want to be too specific
sure.
about him, but he was a very high-level trainer for a country's team out there. And I ended up having a relationship with him, and he was meticulous about it. He would actually get people's urine tested at accredited laboratories and whatnot. And he had a lot of success with it. And years went by, and he continued to...
Now, let me ask you a question. Norbolethone, am I pronouncing it right? Norbolethone?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it available? Like, were these people buying this stuff out there, or were they only able to get it through you?
It was only able to get it through me. It had been a product that was developed in the 60s
right.
by a pharmaceutical company, but it never really made it to market. And so it wasn't around. There was nowhere to get it.
You have an amazing knack for finding those things, don't you? I mean, that's one of the things that I've always been impressed with, that you are able to find long-lost agents that someone did research on decades ago, but for some reason it just never materialized. And then and you see the value in some of these things and bring them to market, huh?
Well, that's where the best ideas come from, because you don't things are already the research is already done. It's custom made. You don't have to take an idea and then prove that it works. Basically, you take something that has been proven to work, but just kind of is covered with dust.
Right.
And you undoes, you know, clean
yeah.
it up.
Yeah, that's genius to me. That's great. So Norbolethone was actually the original Clear. Why did you shift away to THG then if it was working so well? Did they catch on?
Well, around this time, you know, I got in touch with Victor Conti, and he became the major customer. Because he just gave it to everyone under the sun, and you know, he had connections with, you know, very big named athletes and whatnot.
Right.
And he also had a very good connection with the laboratory, one of the laboratories where a lot of the testing happened, and a guy that was way up there in the laboratory that would kind of clue Victor into what's going on, you know, what they're catching on to and what they're not and whatnot. And he gave Victor the heads up that that they had seen something odd in somebody's urine. It ended up being a speed cyclist that I knew, who was a woman that was taking way too much of the stuff. And they saw that there was something in the urine, and someone had a hunch that it may be norbolethone, and he said that someone found a sample and that they were analyzing it. And then Victor relayed that to me, and I'm like, well, I got to come up with something else. You know, norbolethones, people got to stop using that, because it's just a matter of time before they figure that out.
Right.
So then I came up with the THG, which...
Now, was THG something that you had stumbled upon a long time ago as well, or...
No. THG was actually never, ever made by anyone. It was a concept I had, based on the fact that gestrinone was a readily available raw material. And I basically did the same reaction I used to make norbolethone from the level nogestrel. I just took gestrinone and did the reaction, and then I came up with THG. So it was sort of the same chemistry. And I knew that the THG would probably be very potent. I mean, I had all the structural characteristics that make an anabolic steroid very potent. You
know, was THG one of these things where you discovered and kind of dusted the dust off of it? It had been proven to work already?
No, it had never been...
Never at all? Okay.
Never ever been made at all.
Okay.
But my knowledge of steroids, it was like a hybrid of known steroids. A chemical structural hybrid that, in my mind, my knowledge of pharmacology and chemical structure of steroids, I said, this stuff is probably going to work great. You know, it's like taking some of the best steroids and, you know,
blending
them together in one structure. So, and, you know, lo and behold, it ended up being very, very potent.
Was it better than the norbolethone?
In a way it was, because it didn't cause all that water retention.
Mm.
However, it could cause tightness on people. It seemed to have a drying out effect. And people had to be very careful, especially the track athletes. They couldn't take it for more than a couple of days in a row, and they have to take a couple of days off and whatnot.
It was that powerful. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it caused, you know how some steroids can cause muscles to get really tight?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not good for certain athletes.
Not for a performance athlete. Maybe for a physique athlete who just has to flex and stuff.
Yeah.
But not for someone who has to run.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to tear a hamstring.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up talking this very, very interesting interview with Patrick Arnold. Some call him a genius because of his contribution to the sports supplement industry. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
Oh, groovy, baby.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
If you want to buy supplements that have been formulated by a genius, go to prototypenutrition.com today and check out Patrick Arnold's new brainchild as he releases new supplements there. Prototypenutrition.com. Check it out. Pat, it's always baffled me why you were the only one to get singled out in that whole thing. I don't understand why the athletes didn't get punished. You know, the government spent some ridiculous amount of money, like $50 million, trying to prosecute Barry Bonds. They spent, like, they should have just, I mean, I don't understand. I just, to this day, I can't understand. Was it just easiest to tag you and leave everybody else alone? Is that what it came down to?
Well, they were looking at this as a drug conspiracy operation, I guess. The athletes would be considered the end user, you know, the guy that buys the crack on the street.
Right.
Victor Conti would be the distributor guy, you know, the guy that brings it into the country or whatever, and I'd be the guy down in Colombia.
Right. You're the cartel guy, right?
Yeah, actually, this is The focus of their investigation changed over time when they realized I was not a Pablo Escobar, but at the beginning of the investigation, the first half a year or year or so, they were talking that I was the kingpin, They didn't really understood how it worked, but they used the traditional structure of a drug, you know, drug distribution, and figured that I was the main guy. Of course, after a while, they figured, you know, I was just a sucker making the stuff, and Victor was kind of the main guy.
Right.
Because he was distributing it to people. I was just making a...
You were the chemist.
And I had no idea of, you know, mass distribution. I had no ultimate plan. Victor was the one with the ultimate diabolical plan to dope every famous athlete he can get his hands on.
Right.
I was just fulfilling orders.
Yeah, no. And that's why it's always baffled me how the government handled that. I think they really botched it. But here's the $64,000 question. You can tell how old I am. I grew up when $64,000 was actually real money. Obviously, THG, norbolethone, they're gone by the wayside because of the exposure to their effectiveness. Would you believe that till this day, athletes are still, I mean, obviously their desire to use performance-enhancing drugs that escape testing didn't cease to exist once these two agents were no longer available, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that means that somewhere out there, there is still a chemist making something that doesn't test well that athletes are still using, correct?
Conceivably. I mean, the demand's not going to change.
Right.
Whoever's doing it, they better be pretty smart because the testing has become so much more sophisticated that they are looking for any kind of designer steroid. I think if there's something going on, it's probably some designer SARM or something.
There you go. Okay, something that is in a or maybe they're peptides, and I know peptides are very difficult to test for.
True, but peptides will never give you the gains of steroids.
Right. But with that being said, I mean, am I the only one out there that feels like what is it about what is it about sticking a needle in your ass that's crossing a line that makes idiots like Joseph Biden stand up and say the stupid things that they say about steroids in sports or performance-enhancing drugs in sports, yet they don't decry the pitcher who has a ligament rerouted, which in my opinion is much more drastic than taking a drug that just allows you to recover faster. Or, radial keratotomy for someone who makes a living using depth perception like Tiger Woods. Is it simply that we are tied to the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde myth, and as soon as you stick a needle in your ass, you're really breaking the law, but all these other things are fair game? What is it?
Well, I think there's something visually, how do I explain this? Okay, think back when steroids were first being used in the Olympics and people got wind of it.
Right.
One of the first things people saw was the East German women. That had
who were easily confused for the East German men, you mean?
Right. And they started seeing people with muscles that you never seen before. And it took on sort of a Frankenstein kind of aura to it. I mean, people were looking through steroids as some sort of a mad scientist kind of thing that transformed people into ogres.
And let's think about this. Let's extrapolate that a little bit further. And the East Germans, which, you know, at that point in time, communism was still a threat, and the American population still feared. And all of a sudden, if you could simply turn these people into superhumans with some injections, they could really overpower us. And it was probably scary for us.
It did, yeah. It kind of fit right into the whole communist sort of, the way
evil.
That they were...
The communist evil, you know what I mean?
Evil, these impersonal automaton kind of, you know...
Yeah. That makes perfect sense to me. I just don't understand when you look at the technologies that are being applied to athletes today. You know, you have them sleeping in iron lungs to upregulate blood cell counts. You have them eating nutritional quantities of certain foods and agents that really, in my opinion, are just as effective as some weak anabolic steroids. You have them undergoing surgeries that allow them to anatomically change the way their bodies function and change their kinesiology. And I look at those things and say, my God, this is much more extreme than taking a drug that speeds recovery so you can get a better workout tomorrow and keep building on the building block. Because let's face it, some fat slob who sits in his chair and eats potato chips all day can shoot all the THG he wants for the rest of his life, and he's not going to get any stronger and any bigger. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So I struggle with this concept. I really do. And unfortunately, I kind of feel because of sports, technologies, scientific technologies that could actually increase the quality and the length of life have been thrown out the window with the bathwater. And it's a frustration to me on this show. Why is the word anabolic a negative? It should be a positive word. You're anabolic up until you're 25 years old. You're growing, you're thriving, you're repairing. If anything, we should embrace the word anabolic. We want to be anabolic longer into life.
Well, if you read the medical literature on anabolic steroids and the researchers that were talking about it back in the 40s and 50s, before it had the connection to the Olympics and athletics, I mean, they were talking, using the word anabolic in very positive terms, talking about anabolic steroids as wonder drugs. There was no negative connotation
right
to it. And then that suddenly everything changes. And in the 70s, you know, you read something about anabolic steroids and it's bad, or, you know, abuse this, abuse that. It just changed. You know, did the drugs suddenly become bad or no? I mean, it's the public perception of them.
You know, we only have a few minutes left in the interview. In your opinion, what was the single best, because of its ability to do what it was supposed to do, what would you, do you think the single best pro-hormone was when pro-hormones were still available?
1-AD.
By far, huh?
Yeah.
Because it builds strength, it builds muscle. But you know what? I tried 1-AD, and you're right. I put weight on, I got stronger. But I was one of those people who the lethargy, after about 2 weeks on it, I started to not feel good.
Yeah.
And there were some people who reacted that way and some people who didn't. I know there were some people who could take it and they didn't even notice anything. You know, I mean, they saw the strength gains, but they didn't have any negative side effects. And I was one of those people who just couldn't take it for very long.
You're right. That was one downside to the stuff that happened with some people. If I was going to say, if there's one pro hormone that had predictable results, you get predictable results from, and was very mild, would be the 4-AD, especially when delivered topically.
I love that. I made a whole business out of selling FloGel Ultra into the United States specifically so people could mix 4-AD into it.
That was a great product.
Well, no, I shouldn't say that. And 4 and 5 dial. I take that back. Four and 5 dial also. But the FloGel Ultra with those, anything under 400 Dalton, that stuff was like at 30% easily, maybe more, into your bloodstream very, very quickly. In fact, I used to rub, I shaved my whole body because I was experimenting with transdermals and my body was my chemistry set, and I would rub I used to take 4-diol.
4-diol and 4-AD.
And 4-AD together. I'm sorry, 4-AD and what was the other thing I used to mix it with? I think it was the 1-AD. It was 4-AD and 1-AD. That's
okay.
What it was. Because the 4-AD mitigated the lethargy for me with the 1-AD. But anyway,
right.
The point is, I would cover my whole chest and upper abdomen with that stuff. And in seconds, I would have to like catch my breath as it would like enter my bloodstream. And I would feel myself gasping for air for a couple seconds because of the exhilaration that used to hit me from it. It was just amazing. That stuff was amazing. It really, really was.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, if you want to see what Patrick Arnold is working on now, go to prototypenutrition.com. Pat, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Will you come back?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being on Superhuman Radio today, man.
All right.
All right. So stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Lauren Cordain on. We're going to be talking about comments that have been made in the mainstream media trying to deter people from eating ancestral diets. What's up? Do they want us to stay sick? Maybe. We'll be right back.
Trigger, I don't press people button. Nobody chaps gon' face me with something. Like how I have 22 and I'm something.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is probably the single person who has done more to popularize the Paleolithic style of eating than any other single individual. It's Dr. Lauren Cordain. How you doing, Dr. Cordain?
Hey, pretty good, Carl.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I had to have you on. You know, a friend of the show emailed me an article that was written by an Ann Stein. And the article was called Caveman Diet Draws Grunts from Nutritionists. Avoiding entire food groups is a mistake, critics say. Do you remember being interviewed by Ann Stein, by the way, for this particular article?
Yeah, I sure do. She spent probably a few days, many weeks ago, interviewing me and interviewing other people. And I do recall that interview because she was so skeptical. And as I recall, she was her roots in dieting were vegetarian. So it's really not surprising to see that a reporter came out with what I would consider a biased review and not objective.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? And you just made a really excellent point that leads into a thought that I was actually having as you were saying it. You know, why is it that nutrition decisions in nutrition have lost their objectivity and become more like a religion, that people are willing to hold on to their nutritional beliefs in the face of good information because it's what they believe?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Carl. And, you know, my feeling has always been to let the data speak for itself. Nutritional theory shouldn't rely upon charismatic individuals or people's opinions. It should be driven solely by the data. And as a scientist, that's really how I like to view it.
Now, obviously, Ms. Stein interviewed you about Paleolithic-style nutrition, of which you explained to her that there are certain food groups that are best avoided if you can do so. And obviously, we're all not all so rigid. I mean, if you avoid certain things 80% of the time, you may be able to have something that you love 20% of the time. But all in all, when we look at ancestral diets, when we look at the evolution of the human being, we know that they didn't have certain foods available under the early development of our genome, correct?
Yeah, I think that's true. And one of the ironic parts about this story is that the reporter, her mentor, was a fellow that actually, his name is Ross Worland. He's also a writer for the Chicago Tribune. And 3 or 4 years ago, he wrote the same story on the paleo diet. Yet his outcome was...
Hey, Dr. Cordain, did you just happen to move, or are you on a cordless phone by any chance? Because you became almost impossible to hear a moment ago. It's breaking up so badly. I don't know if you can move closer to your base station or something.
Okay, I'll do that.
Oh, that's much better. I don't know what you just did just now, but that's much better. So you mention his name one more time, her
mentor. So I think it's kind of ironic that she came up with this conclusion when 3 or 4 years earlier, her mentor, a fellow by the name of Ross Worland, actually wrote about the article. And he tried it, or the diet, and he tried it himself over a 6-week period. He ended up losing 30 pounds. His blood chemistry improved dramatically. And, so this is two people, two writers from the same newspaper with completely diametrically opposed, perspectives. So that,
sounds to me like she had an agenda. I mean,
she did. You have to take it with a grain of salt. But going back to your other question, I think that ties in here. Is the complaint with her analysis was that we removed two entire food groups. Yet, this woman is a vegan vegetarian, and if you consider that same group, they also remove two food groups. They remove dairy and they remove milk. So it's somewhat hypocritical to say, well, this is the USDA, the American Dietetic Association, all promote vegan vegetarian diets as helpful, yet, paradoxically, they also remove two food groups. The two food groups we remove, dairy and grains, the diet is much healthier. It's much more nutritionally dense when people include more fruits and vegetables and lean meats and seafoods. And we've reported this in the best nutrition journals in the world, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition and other journals that I've published in. We pointed out that grains and dairy are nutritional lightweights. They have much less vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals than to fruits and vegetables and lean meats.
Well, so, and also they have been linked to some of the problems that are considered some of the most popular chronic diseases like IBS and other gastrointestinal issues. Gluten and other lectins have been implicated. You know, they've created whole industries now. You know,
yeah, I mean, there's what, 60 million Americans that are now buying gluten-free foods.
Yeah.
Dr. Alessio Fasano, a colleague of mine at the University of Maryland, who's one of the world's foremost celiac researchers, has now, and people has shown that gluten sensitivity affects 20 million Americans. So when people remove grains from their diet, at least a sixth of the population is going to be helpful for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Why are we so phobic about animal protein in this day and age? I know some of it comes down to unrealistic sensitivity where we apply human feelings to animals. And that's, some people are vegans because they don't want to hurt animals. And I can respect that if that's the way you feel. But why are we so phobic about animal protein in this day and age?
Well, you know, I think it kind of stems from an earlier era. It stems when I was a young man from the 60s and 70s, when red meat was associated with cancer and heart disease, and as you mentioned, many problems with health. And those things, those were basically assumptions that were never borne out by randomized controlled trials.
But you can't unring a bell. Isn't that amazing?
That's right. You can't unring a bell. And
once those words hit the people's ears, they went, uh-oh. And you know what's another thing that baffles me? And we're going to take a quick commercial break here in a moment. But I talk about my audience. I always say you must practice health history. You know, if you follow just epidemiological research, then you would have to say that water causes cancer because 100% of people who develop cancers also bathe and drink water. I mean, you have to look back and look at not your grandparents, because they were already being compromised dietarily. You have to look back at your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents. You have to ask yourself, why, at a time when people were eating more animal fats, cooking bacon and lard, eating eggs every single morning, why were they not seeing the chronic diseases that we see today? And you must ask that question honestly. You can't just slough it off and say what was different? And what was different was the quality of the food that they were eating. I want to take a quick commercial break, Dr. Cordain. When I come back, I want to talk about the plight of trying to feed the masses cheaply, actually driving the foods that we eat. We're talking today with Dr. Lauren Cordain from University of Colorado about ancestral diets, the Paleolithic style of eating. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body,
magnesium is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget, save 25% off at opresource.net. Use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN25. My guest this hour is Dr. Lauren Cordain from the University of Colorado. And he has contributed much to the Paleolithic style of eating. Many of you, many of my other guests, like Rob Wolf and others, have all been influenced by Dr. Cordain. And so obviously when people want to talk about the paleo diet, they go to him and they interview him. And then, of course, they take what he says and use it for their own agendas, as this Anne Klein did. Dr. Cordain, is it not true, this statement not true, that the only reason why we don't eat paleo today is because it's too expensive to feed the masses that way?
That's a very important point, and it's a point that I've brought out in all of my books. We are now 6.7 billion people on the planet, and ironically, the diet that we are genetically adapted to is beyond the means of most of the world's people. However, having said that, people in the United States and Western Europe and most Western countries aren't dying from diseases of underconsumption, but rather from diseases of overconsumption. So we have the choice to eat the types of foods that we want, whereas many of the underprivileged countries can't.
Right. And this is why grains and rice, you know, the job one of the food industry is to find inexpensive ways to feed people. When we talk about feed people, we talk about macronutrients. We talk about protein. We talk about carbohydrates. We talk about fats. And job one is to find profitable ways to do so, to deliver these foods. And that's why we see the infiltration of things like soy, which I rail against. I don't know how you feel about soy, Dr. Cordain, but I am totally opposed to the soy products that are sold in the United States, which are totally different than the soy products that are sold in Asia, which are generally fermented and don't have the isoflavone content that we have here. But, you know, these things like genetically modified corn and grains, these are all a result of trying to feed people inexpensively.
That's right. All the grains and legumes are cheap food. They can be grown in enormous farms and acreage, and so with mechanization and tractors and fertilization and so forth, one farmer can feed literally thousands of people if they choose to eat grains and legumes. Yet we know that grains and legumes are some of the lowest level foods in terms of their nutrient content. And what many people don't realize is that grains and legumes contain substances called anti-nutrients that actually adversely impair nutrition in our health.
And those anti-nutrients were first taught to me by through a conversation with you that I started to get on the track of what anti-nutrients were. Basically, anti-nutrients were designed probably as a result of evolutionary selection down pressure for the species to survive. It had to create mechanisms to kill the things that would eat on it.
That's right. Think about a plant's grain. A grain is simply the seed of a grass seed, and a legume is the seed of a plant, and these are its reproductive materials. They don't create these reproductive materials to feed other species. If those reproductive materials don't get in the ground and sprout and form a new plant, the plant becomes rapidly extinct. And so plants have taken on a number of evolutionary strategies to prevent predation by birds and insects and mammals and so forth, and some of these are known as anti-nutrients. And so that's the evolutionary strategy plants like grains and legumes have taken, and they contain a variety of these anti-nutrients, lectins, protease inhibitors.
I personally submit that the phytoestrogens in soy
were exactly that. Because think about it for a second. Animals that would forage and eat on soy, whose males, whose estrogen levels would rise, would not reproduce. They would not reproduce. And what better way to kill off a whole species but keep them from reproducing?
That's right. And in women who eat high levels of soy, what happens is there's a hormone called luteinizing hormone that is elevated by eating soy. And women who are vegan vegetarians and consume a lot of soy, it's not unusual for them to become anovulatory, meaning that they stop their periods.
Bingo.
And so we have evolutionary randomized controlled trials that actually show that. You put women on vegan diets, 7 out of 9 of them lose their periods within 6 weeks. So this is not really a very good way to eat. And people, including the United States Department of Agriculture, as well as the American Dietetic Association, promote this. Yet if you go into the scientific literature and you look at the most powerful types of studies, which are called randomized controlled trials, in which we actually put people on vegan or vegetarian type diets, what we find is they end up with all sorts of nutritional deficiencies depending upon how long we keep them on these diets.
Now you invoked their name, the American Dietetic Association. I can say this because no one is going to come after me for saying this. I don't have any accreditation that anybody could threaten to take away, and I don't have to worry about losing a job. But I feel like they're just a pawn for the government agencies who are there to promote the big agri products. I mean, we produce lots of corn and grain in this country, and the government subsidizes the production of that corn and grain, and people need to eat that stuff. And so I say that the American Dietetic Association promotes corn and grain not because they don't see the research that shows that there's a lot of problems when you eat it, but because they're being influenced by agencies that would have us eat corn and grain, not because they're good for us, but because it's profitable for them.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that. I don't think that most scientists in the United States are deliberately trying to design diets to cause ill health. I think it's to the contrary. I think that their intent is good, but nutrition is a fractious field, is that there are a variety of ways of interpreting the data, and most nutritionists really don't have a very good research design background. And so when we try to show causality between diet and disease, there's 4 major ways to look at it. And we have animal studies, we have 3 different types of epidemiologic studies, we have tissue studies, and the most powerful studies are what are called randomized controlled trials. And to show causality between diet and disease, we need to use all of these. And what many people, including most nutritionists, is they have an agenda because they believe something to be true. And so they cherry-pick studies that they think support their viewpoint. So if you're a vegan vegetarian, let's ignore all the randomized controlled trials and let's just cherry-pick epidemiologic studies or animal studies. That's not good science, Carl. What we need to do is we need to look at all 4 methods of showing causality, and we need to put these studies together in a cohesive manner so that we paint the true picture. And I don't have an agenda. I didn't come to this paleo diet because I'm somehow a caveman type guy. I came to these conclusions because we put together all 4 of these different types of studies, and we put the evolutionary template over the 4 studies, and it guides us to the correct decision. For instance, our group was the very first group, almost a decade ago now, that said diet causes acne. Well, I didn't come to that conclusion because I had this magic intuition. We came to it because we applied the evolutionary template. We looked at primitive groups all over the world, and what we found is that they didn't have acne. Not even their adolescents have acne. So what's going on here? So once again, it's this evolutionary template. You place it over it, and it allows you to organize these 4 different types of scientific methods to help us show causality between diet and disease. And that's really the strength that the evolutionary template brings to nutrition is it helps you to organize all these crazy studies. One study says pizza causes this, and one study says eggs are good, and one says it's bad, and this and that, and whatever. The evolutionary template brings it all together. And this is what's helpful about the saturated fat story, is that that entire idea has now been reversed. In
right.
the last 2 years, some of the most powerful studies have now shown that saturated fat probably has very little to do, or a minimal amount to do, with cardiovascular disease. And it's probably the recommendations that the government made of replacing saturated fat with high glycemic load carbohydrates.
Bingo.
That is more responsible for the obesity epidemic and the increase.
Well, more importantly than that, obesity is just one of the byproducts. We've done a series of shows now since 2008 by some very, very good scientists who have shown that glucose signaling and rapid elevation of blood sugar leads to cellular aging, cellular senescence, and the diseases associated with cellular
Absolutely.
Aging.
Absolutely. You know, it's just so crazy, because I grew up in the generation where we thought that saturated fat and cholesterol caused heart disease.
Right.
And that was really based on some very poor data. And when we start bringing together all the data, which is called meta-analyses, the group at Harvard has recently shown that if we look at the meta-analyses of randomized controlled trials, if we look at the epidemiological meta-analyses, we really don't see a very strong relationship whatsoever between saturated fat, cholesterol, and heart disease. What we do see is a much greater relationship between refined carbohydrates.
Right.
And that's the problem that was pushed. Once we decided in the 1960s and 70s that saturated fat and cholesterol were bad, without having any randomized controlled trials, without having any evidence, we said, let's replace these fats with carbohydrate, because carbohydrate doesn't have fat in it, or cholesterol, so it must be good. Wrong. And so what happens in the body is that carbohydrate can be turned into saturated fat,
right.
triglycerides.
Especially fructose, which immediately becomes triglycerides.
Fructose is the same way. Fructose is handled very, very differently than other sugars.
Right.
And
right.
so fructose is a huge problem. High fructose corn syrup was put into the Western diet starting in the early 80s, and it nicely parallels what we see with the obesity epidemic.
Did you see that the corn refiners are trying to change the name of high fructose corn syrup to corn sugar?
Yeah, you know, it's really a shame, and the people that are suffering are the people that don't know. You know, our young people, our children, people that are not nutritionists, people that are not scientists, they eat what tastes good, and the food manufacturing industry caters to their, you know, their whims.
Right.
And so, staple foods now become junk food, and
yes.
real foods, people will shy away from eggs and bacon and meat for breakfast because they think it's going to cause heart disease. In actuality, that's probably one of the best things they could do
right.
is to reduce their glycemic load. And what we need to focus on, Carl, is food. We've focused on nutrients since World War II, since we've invented vitamins and minerals. The new thinking is no longer nutrients. We find that isolated nutrients absolutely don't do anything.
Right.
What we're finding now with the meta-analyses is that antioxidant vitamins are actually promoting overall mortality. Huge meta-analyses involving close to millions of people now show that there's really no advantage to even vaunted vitamin C. What we're finding is it's real food. We need to focus on real healthy food, nutritious food.
And I want to, and that's why when we come out of the break, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Are you familiar with the Wenner-Gren Foundation?
Yes.
Okay, Leslie Aiello?
Yeah,
okay.
Leslie Aiello is a colleague. We wrote a paper on human brain evolution.
Yes, because of meat. Right. When we stopped foraging and we started eating meat, our brains got bigger, actually.
Well, that's actually our paper. If you go to my website, you can download all my scientific papers, and we extended on Leslie Aiello's study showing.
I tried to have Leslie on the show, but she's not interested in doing any shows any longer. She really made it sound to me like she was taking it easy right now, and I wanted to have her on the show to discuss something that she said to me in a phone conversation once. And I want to put this question to you, and this is even better now that I know that you have some close ties to her.
She's a colleague. We correspond.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
She said to me once over the phone, I don't know what everybody's getting, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know what everybody's getting an uproar. It's virtually impossible to eat paleo in this day and age, given the quality of our food. I want to put that question to you right now when we come back from the break, okay?
Sounds good.
So we're talking with Dr. Lauren Cordain. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. Lauren Cordain. Okay. The Winogren Foundation is a foundation that focuses on anthropology. And Leslie Aiello is at the helm of this organization. And I had a couple conversations with her, trying to get her to come on the show, but she's busy and had no interest in coming on the show. Very, very nice. I mean, she wasn't rude. We had several conversations. One of the conversations she said to me, it's virtually impossible to eat Paleolithic style any longer because of the quality of our food, the accessibility to the types of foods that our Paleolithic ancestors ate. So what do you say to that, Dr. Cordain? Is there something better out there that we can't get our hands on because it's no longer available? Are we spinning our wheels trying to do this? Or, I mean, what do you say to that statement, first of all?
You know, I've addressed this before, and I've just finished writing my fifth book, which should be out in December, but I've devoted a chapter on this. We can't emulate precisely Stone Age or hunter-gatherer diets, nor would we want to, because I think culturally They wouldn't be very appealing to us. However, what I have pointed out in a number of my scientific papers that are all available at my website, paleodiet.com, is that we can emulate certain nutritional characteristics of Stone Age diets by eating modern foods and eliminating certain modern food groups. And so by eliminating grains and dairy and focusing on modern fruits and vegetables and meats and seafoods, we can get pretty close. We can't get precisely, but we can get pretty close. One of the key issues is getting appropriate meat. And if you can get yourself some grass-fed meat or even wild game meat, you're in a lot better shape than if you eat grain-produced meat. So that's one of the big problems. But I would disagree with Leslie in that our analyses of modern-day diets, where we actually do computerized dietary analysis and look at the nutrient density, show them to be incredibly nutrient-dense. You don't need to take vitamins or minerals or any nutrient except for vitamin D if you don't get sunshine when you eat a modern Stone Age diet.
Are you familiar? I would like to ask you to do something for me. And whether or not you're willing to do this is entirely up to you. But could you start reversing the term fruits and vegetables with vegetables and fruits? Because I really feel that the message.
Yeah, your point is well taken, and I'm there before you even go there. I agree with you. Modern day fruits contain a ton of fructose, and wild fruits have very little fructose in them. And so when people become sensitized to fructose with the Western diet, even a little bit of fruit for people that are overweight or insulin resistant can be problematic. And at my website, we list the fructose content of all fruits. So you're right. The Stone Age fruits look more like vegetables than what we call fruits.
Plug your website because it has more wonderful tools. There are so many good tools at your website, including the ones that people wouldn't attribute to being at your website, like which foods alter pH in the body. Plug your website real quick.
Yeah, it's www.thepaleodiet.com, and we try to educate at the website, too. I give away more information for free at my website than you can get perhaps in any of my books because I've written over 100 scientific papers and they're all available as free PDF downloads. So the books are good because it kind of, I don't want to say dumbs it down, but it brings the science to a level that everybody can understand. Whereas in scientific papers, I have to write in the scientific lingo to be acceptable in my colleagues. So what I try to do in my books is to take that information and make it accessible to everybody. So, yeah, go to my website, and there's a ton of good information there.
When did humans start cooking their food?
That's somewhat controversial. My colleague Richard Wrangham at Harvard thinks it started 2 million years ago, but nobody believes him. I think the best available evidence tells us that probably about 300,000 years ago, we start to see the inkling of control of fire. And fire is a tough thing to make. It was probably collected at first from lightning strikes and volcanic eruptions and whatever. But to make a fire, there's really only a couple of ways you can do it. And one is called a fire drill. And that requires tremendous coordination and a lot of insight. So the notion that people could make and control fire, probably we don't see that, until at least 200,000, maybe 180,000 years ago. So a lot of skill required to do it. Most modern people, if you were to give them a fire drill, couldn't start a fire to save their life. So it's a tough thing to do. But, yeah, I'd say by about 200,000 to 250,000 years ago, there's some pretty good evidence that people were using fire regularly.
Okay. Now, you know that there's a huge raw food movement, and it's growing daily. More and more people are eating raw meats. I personally have experimented with it. What about this notion that if we really want to eat caveman style, we have to return to eating raw meats?
Carl, I don't agree with that. We live in the 21st century, and we don't go out and hunt and kill our own food. Most people don't. And so we don't have a lot of control over the food that makes it to our mouth. And you don't have to read any further than a newspaper to see E. coli poisoning and there's other problems that are involved with eating raw meat. So,
what about this notion that that it's somehow more digestible than cooked meat? We just did a show on dietary advanced glycation end products from cooking, high heat cooking meats, and so on.
Yeah.
Increases the age.
Ages, yeah, of course. And I've written about the whole notion of ages in my next book and their receptor rages. I think in the best of all worlds, that's probably a better way to go if you can do it. But the notion of cooking meats, if you slow cook them, you're probably going to be in better shape. And, you know, you can do your steaks a little bit raw. So I don't think, and I do encourage people to not, if you're going to barbecue and burn the hell out of the outside of the meat, cut that off and eat the leaner red portion on the middle. So I think there is perhaps some health benefits that have only been recently considered. But eating raw meat on a regular basis, unless you can make sure that the meat is not contaminated, can present some problems.
My guest the other day made an interesting point. He said, you know, the contamination on meat is always on the surface of the meat. So yep. What you should do is to sear the meat, throw it down on the grill, burn the outside of the meat, leave the inside raw, and eat it that way. What you have an opinion on that statement?
You know, I don't know that there's a whole lot of science behind it, but at least experimentally, that may be okay. I think overall, in terms of mortality, we need to, when you start making statements like that, there may be some truth to it, and it may even be therapeutic or beneficial, but you get to the point where the average person is saying, my God, what's left to eat? You know, how can I do this?
So, right. And you know what? That's a true statement, because when I have conversations about just the simple things in nutrition, like cutting out grains, people feel
say, okay, no more grains and no more dairy.
What can I eat?
Well, incredible cornucopia called the produce section of your supermarket. But I think you gotta let the things down kind of easy. I'm one of the guys that started this entire whole thing, 20 years ago, along with my colleague Boyd Eaton, and we've always tried to maintain the science behind it. And I think that's one reason why the message resonates and is so powerful, is because I try to let the data always speak for itself. And there are places with this that you got to be a little bit careful where you go. And I think that the raw meat thing is like, that's the final straw. Even though maybe there are some benefits to it, is like, let's just make sure we can tell people and convince them that grains and dairy aren't very healthful. Most people now believe that processed foods probably aren't a very good idea.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've gone down that road, and now we're pushing the next buttons, which is grain and dairy. So
let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, I'm gonna throw a name at you and ask you what you think of him. We're talking today with Dr. Lauren Cordain. You can go to his website. It's thepaleodiet.com. Correct, Dr. Cordain?
That's right, Carl. Thanks.
Thepaleodiet.com. There is really a ton of resources there. If you've never visited it, you really do need to visit it. And I promise you, once you go there, you'll be back again and again. We'll be right back. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it
Branched
all.
Branched chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The 3 amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at trueprotein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to trueprotein.com and get your BCAAs.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Dr. Cordain, what do you think about Gary Taubes?
Gary's a good friend of mine. You know, we've known one another for years, and he's a great writer and a wonderful wit, and has, an excellent insight into all things with health and diet.
He's been on the show a few times, and I agree with you. He's a great guy. Don't you think that he's basically taken the hunter-gatherer diet and reduced the notion of it to something that is just completely supported by science and put it in just layman's terms? Instead of saying it's the hunter-gatherer diet, he's saying, look, these are the foods you should eat if you want to stay healthy and you don't want to get fat.
You know, many scientists from a wide variety of backgrounds come to the same conclusion that most of us do, is that our genes determine what we should eat as a species, and evolution through natural selection has shaped our genes. And so it becomes a matter of determining what those selective pressures were and what the ancestral environment was. And so I didn't invent that idea. That idea goes all the way back to Charles Darwin. And I think that critical thinkers end up at the same point. And that's why we're kind of coming to a common endpoint in nutrition with evolutionary medicine. This concept won't die after I'm gone, or after Gary's gone, or even after Darwin's been gone for 200 years. This is a concept that is the most powerful unifying idea in all of biology. And nutrition is nothing more than an applied biological field. And so that's why we are coming to this conclusion. The people that say that evolutionary medicine is Barney Rubble and Fred Flintstone are wrong. And this won't go away. This is what shaped the human genome, and we're now coming to the conclusion that the closer that we can get to the ancestral environment in our modern-day world through exercise, nutrition, and even sleep and psychological factors, the better off we are.
Right, right. Are you familiar with Dr. Cynthia Kenyon?
I don't know that name.
Okay. She's at the University of California. I want to say it's San Francisco, but it's one of the UCs, and she's done some amazing work on the hunter-gatherer diet. And I have someone who kind of inferred to me on some of the conclusions she's come to, and they're pretty exciting. I've been trying to have her on the show for some time, but she's always too busy. Anyway, do you think that that there will come a time of critical mass when the government gets it that chronic disease could be held completely at bay
by changing American diet approaches, and the whole need for this massive healthcare system would go by the wayside. Do you think that the government will ever get it, A, and part B to that question is, and would they ever act on it, given the fact that they would completely alienate some of the largest industries in current time?
Well, that's a complex question that has many facets to it. But first off, the government is us. We are the government, and we elect the government. We don't necessarily control all aspects of it. But as an educator at the Division I research institution, I train and educate the young people that will eventually become part of the government. And these ideas that we are promoting now that at one time seemed, completely crazy are now becoming mainstream. The notion that omega-3s are good for our health. The notion that a low glycemic low diet is good for our health. The notion that vegetables and fruits are good for our health.
Thank you.
This is all coming about, the notion that a high salt diet, the notion that individual nutrients really don't do a whole lot, it's the overall quality of the diet. These things are starting to become mainstream, and they're being driven by bench science. They're being driven by powerful meta-analyses and randomized controlled trials. And so we are coming to this focal point that is defined by this evolutionary viewpoint of what diet is all about. It's not just an accident or that omega-3s are good for it. It's not an accident that low glycemic low diets are not good for it, are good for us. All of these things are coming together because they're genetically driven, and they are an outcome of our evolutionary, our ancestral past. This is an inescapable conclusion, and anybody that says otherwise is a fool. They didn't learn biology. And so, yes, the government will eventually get it, and the recommendations will change. We are now making recommendations that are vastly different than they were 20 years ago. And the recommendations will eventually come about that dairy products aren't necessarily healthful, nor are grains. Now, these are being driven, as you mentioned, by these huge middlemen that make money.
Right.
Are these guys deliberately trying to hurt our health? No. They're just interested in making money and selling their products. But eventually, just like the tobacco industry, this information will become widespread, and people will have the choice of whether they want to or not. I don't think we should legislate diet. What we should do is we should educate.
Yeah, no, you're right, because we vote with our dollars every day, and if everyone abandoned grain-based products, the grain producers would have no other choice but to either change the products that they make or change the use for their product entirely.
Or instead of being grain growers, why not be produce foods that are healthier for humans?
Right, right.
We have the resources. We may not be able to feed the entire planet, but we can sure feed a lot more people healthy foods. In the United States, most middle-class people can choose whatever they want to eat. Most of them choose the bad choices.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the only area that you and I always disagree on is I'm a huge proponent of raw unpasteurized milk. And that's the one area that I deviate.
Well, let me give you some new information that's coming out in my book. I've got a whole chapter on it. And in the United States, the way we make milk that we feed the masses is by keeping our cows pregnant for their entire life.
Right.
So that way they can produce milk 350 days out of the year. So what happens is we artificially inseminate cows while they are nursing their first calf. And so we keep them pregnant for, as I mentioned, for most of the year. Well, that's great because now they produce more milk. But the problem is when you keep them pregnant like that, it elevates estrogen in their bloodstream. And there's a variety of different estrogens that are increased, one of which is called estrone. Yeah. And estrone is the female estrogen that we put in birth control pills. So it has high oral bioavailability, meaning if you put estrone in your mouth, which is what you're getting from raw milk, you are increasing the estrogen content of your bloodstream. If you're a man, if you eat estrogen, it increases the risk for prostate cancer and colon cancer. If you're a woman, it increases the lifelong risk of breast cancer. No human ever ate or consumed dairy products until very, very recent times. 65% of the planet does not have the enzyme required to break down the sugar in milk. So all the biological evidence tells us we don't need to have dairy products.
Now, is this true of pastured dairy cows that are, you know, organic pastured dairy cows that are producing raw milk as far as keeping them pregnant?
Just think about it. When does a mammal produce milk? A mammal only produces milk shortly before the birth of the animal and then after suckling period ends. We know it's completely unnatural for mammals to produce milk throughout their life.
So I need to ask my farmer how he keeps these
cows. Well, so now we have to throw another caveat in there. It's like, okay, if you drink milk, you damn well make sure that you're having it from animals that aren't artificially inseminated.
Right.
And most dairy farmers do it because it's cost effective. Whether it's organic or not, they're still doing it. So if you drink milk from an animal produced in that manner, the estrogen content of your bloodstream will be increased.
You know, that's a strong argument. I'm gonna have to look into this.
Listen, I didn't come up with this argument.
No,
this
I understand.
An argument I gave a talk back at Harvard on a conference produced by Walt Willett, and Walt Willett is not a very big proponent of milk drinking, and so he put together an international world class conference. I gave the introduction on the evolutionary perspective, and I learned that at that conference. I learned this is how milk is being produced in the United States.
I buy my milk from a little Mennonite farmer, and he has about 36.
Well, the cow can't stay pregnant all.
Well, I mean, but he does have a bull too. I mean, he could be producing.
Check it out carefully, but that's just one problem.
But you know what? But the other thing that you point out, regardless of whether he's doing artificial insemination or not, you make a very strong point that regardless of how the cow gets pregnant, even if it's the natural pregnancy cycle of this cow, there is estrogen in the milk that's absorbed.
Well, Carl, here's another one too that your readers need to be aware of. Is anybody that drinks milk is going to become insulin resistant, okay? And so we know that. We have a very powerful randomized controlled trial out of Germany showing that if you took a dozen kids and you put them on a high milk diet for a week and we use the gold standard for measuring insulin sensitivity, they all become insulin resistant after a week of milk drinking. You replace the milk with meat and the insulin levels become normal.
What's the mechanism that insulin pushes, that milk pushes insulin resistance? Just purely the lactose, or is there some of the mechanism?
It's not completely clear how that whole thing works right now because it's only been demonstrated once in humans. Milk, one thing we do know very powerfully, elevates IGF-1. And so that's another huge problem. Because it also simultaneously suppresses IGF binding protein 3. Milk is just a nasty substance. It's something that people simply, I've devoted an entire chapter on my next book to it, so your readers can wait until December. And we really, really, I spent some time, and we've really nailed this. So I would, I agree to disagree with you, but there's no evolutionary basis for any species drinking the milk of another animal.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, you know what? I have no agenda. I want to live a long and healthy life, and that's my objective. And in order to do that, I have to be open-minded and like a missile, constantly redirecting myself to reach my target.
Another point on the milk thing is if you don't want to develop senile cataracts at an early age, don't drink milk. We know that we can induce cataracts in a variety of animal models simply by giving them galactose. No animal on the planet ever eats galactose beyond weaning. If you drink milk, that's half the sugar in milk. Lactose is made up of galactose and glucose. And galactose immediately causes, we can produce cataracts in young, healthy animals just by giving them a high galactose diet.
Wow, so, that's a strong argument.
Yeah, so it's like, if you've seen people with senile cataracts at 65, that happens all the time.
Wow.
People at 80 and 90 that don't have cataracts, or they have they're not, the opacity of the cataracts are minimal, they're probably not milk drinkers. So that's another point. That's just one of them.
These are great arguments. I mean, I like this stuff. This is good. I'm rethinking. I'm actually sitting here thinking, gee, maybe I need to lay off the milk.
Hey, I'll tell you what, email me and I'll give you an advanced copy of that chapter.
Okay, I appreciate it. Now, the book comes out when, in December?
In December, yeah.
Okay, so we'll have you back on at the book release so that we could talk about it. How's that sound?
That sounds great, Carl. I really appreciate it. I enjoy your show so much, and thank you for promoting a paleo diet.
All right, listen, take care, Dr. Cordain.
Thanks.
All right. All right, so there you have it. That's the end of another Superhuman Radio episode. I want to also thank Patrick Arnold for coming on the show and talking so openly and honestly about the events that surrounded the Balco. I didn't even know we were going to go there with that one. But also talking to us about the history of pro-hormones. And, of course, Dr. Lauren Cordain. Patrick Arnold's website is prototypenutrition.com. Dr. Cordain's website is thepaleodiet.com. Visit them, check them out, and we'll see you tomorrow. We've got Ori Hofmeckler on the first hour tomorrow, talking about his controlled fatigue training protocol. Second hour tomorrow, Dr. Magda Hava is going to be talking about something I love, the dangers of cellular telephones. This is science. This is not just me saying it. We'll see you tomorrow.